Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 7 of the Ash Bros podcast. We're so grateful to bring this episode to you guys here. Should be a very exciting one. Obviously, here I'm Todd, here with Peter. Should be a fun one. How are you doing today, Peter?
I'm good, man. How are you? Another good day. So glad it's like summer, basically. I mean, it's been in full effect for a while, but we're really in the deep days of summer now. It's nice to be in July. Obviously, like, sports kind of slow, but yeah, at least, like, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the NFL season. It's good, I guess, to take a break and touch some grass, I guess. So, yeah, everything's been good, man. It's part of the off season, I guess, in sports, really. It's just baseball, right? And tennis, I guess, like with Wimbledon and stuff.
Yeah, and soccer, too, obviously. Well, soccer's obviously, you know.
Before the, what's going on, so yeah.
But, yeah, the weather is nice outside. And, I know we've been enjoying that as well a few times as well. So it's been pretty good. But for this episode here, we're going here into the AFC West division. I'm going to be giving our record predictions for all four teams there and kind of just continuing that mini series we've been doing. This is obviously the last division that we'll be talking about here in terms of the AFC. So it should be an interesting one here. But Peter, if you want to go ahead and start off with the team that you have in last place in what should be one of the toughest divisions in the NFL this year.
Yeah, there's a lot. The AFC West is always interesting. I think it was a couple of days ago, I think I was talking to you about this, but it's funny, like 3 years ago, we really hyped up this division and we were like, oh, it's going to be unreal. It's going to be sick. And then there's a huge drop. I think it was Russell Wilson's right the year he joined the Broncos the first time, right? 2022 or whatever. But since then, I mean, it's still been a pretty good division for the most part. There's still a lot of talent we know we're going to get from this division. It's a lot of good defensive play for the most part, and especially from the top three teams, and kind of some excitement every now and then, some big games. With that being said, this division, again, it's going to be tough, man. And that's why my fourth team, or a team that I think is going to be last in the division, are the Las Vegas Raiders. Obviously, like, Pete Carroll's a pretty good coach. He's stamped. For various reasons, right? He's done it in both college and both the NFL. And he usually gets the best out of his players. He's a motivator, top-tier motivator, and he was the motivator before Dan Campbell kind of came into the mix. He was known as that guy. But it's tough, man. Like, it's just, there's going to be only so much he can work with that team. I think offensively, they're just not that great. Even with Geno Smith and getting a guy like Brock Bowers is great. But they didn't really truly address that receiver position other than that. They don't really have a top-tier number one. Jacoby Myers is their top option, if we're being honest, at receiver. Brock Bowers would be the number one option overall. But even with Ashton Jensen being there, as good as I think he is, I could see a lot of 8-man fronts and stuff like that against them, or 7-man boxes, stuff like that. And if they stack the box, who's going to be the guy to kind of push the ball downfield? Dante Thornton looks really good in OTAs from what I heard, and that could be a name to watch out for in the 4th and 5th round receiver they got in this year's draft. That could be a guy to look forward to seeing. But again, I don't know how much I like this team overall. The offensive line's not bad. Colton Miller's nice. Dylan Parham had a good season. But now you got to rely on rookies DJ Glaze and Jackson Powers-Johnson to kind of take the next step. And those guys they were average last year. They're rookies, but they got to take a much bigger step than they did last year. If they're the same, it's not going to look that great. And then defensively, other than Max Crosby, right, you get Christian Wilkins back from injury. That's major. It could be a bottom-tier defense overall. I could see them being a below, like a bottom 24-25 defense. With that being said, I just had them at a 7-10 record still. I still have them at getting 7 wins because I think Pete Carroll's that good. And I do think there will be games where they contest with teams. They always play a lot of guys tough, but I don't know. I'm just not the biggest fan of them going anywhere past 4th in that division. It's just there's so much talent around that division. It's going to be really tough for them to get over the hump there.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I also have the Raiders in last place. I think they'll go 7-10 this year, which it's definitely a lot better, would be a lot better than what they did last year. Last year, they were 4-13. So 3 more wins would be a definitely a good upgrade there. I kind of agree kind of the similarities with what you said about the offense. And, like, they don't really have a legit, you know, number one X receiver that's going to go out and dominate. So I think for them, you're probably going to see a lot of 12 personnel, a lot of Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer right there, and then a lot of running the football there with Ashton Jensen. I think their offense, if they can protect Geno Smith, I think, you know, we've seen when he's had time to throw the ball, he can be a top 10 caliber quarterback with his arm talent and IQ and all that. So we'll see. But I think the biggest reason why they'll finish under 500, along with obviously being in a very tough division, I think it's going to be their defense. Like you said, like Max Crosby's great. Christian Wilkins, when he's healthy, is really good. But that secondary is they have some things to sort out there in a secondary. They lost Nate Hobbs, who was their best corner last year too in free agency. So when I look at it, and Trevon Moehrig too, who's a pretty good safety, underrated too, and now he's with the Panthers now. So two big losses in free agency to their secondary. But I think they'll be a lot more competitive in 2025, and I think that's something that Raiders fans honestly just want to see at this point. Can we just be competitive at least? So, and I think they will be this year.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. And honestly, like, it's growing pains, right? Like, eventually they're going to probably get better. And as time goes on, as they stay with Pete Carroll and they keep things going, they haven't really had stability over there in a while. Josh McDaniels, Antonio Pierce, right? You fire Rich Versace, like, all that stuff. If you can just keep it stable, that organization just needs stability. Like, it really does. They can just calm down, keep it stable. I think they can obviously take some steps and eventually find themselves in the heart of the division again, right? It's been a long time since you said the Raiders have been on anywhere near the top of the AFC West. So, you know, hopefully eventually if they get some stability there, they can go forward. I guess moving on to my third team in this division. And again, it might shock some people. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know if it's going to shock too many people or people don't really care as much about like what this team's going to kind of offer this year. But it's, for me, it's the Los Angeles Chargers. I got them at a 9-8 record. They finished 11-6 last season in Harbaugh's first year, and I know everyone's kind of like, oh, well, they're going to get better. They didn't really dramatically improve this team, in my opinion. And that's why I think they're going to take a bit of a step back. They also had the fifth easiest schedule last year. This year, it gets a lot, or I think 11th easiest, something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's going to get a lot more difficult from what I've seen, especially down the stretch of the season later on. Their biggest need on offense, in my opinion, was pass catcher, and I don't know, man. Like, there's not much to like over there, right? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, they got Mike Williams back, and that's cool. Trey Harris, like, drafting him, he can play, but again, like, is he a true separator? Is he a true number one? I don't know. It's a big question. Obviously, Ladd McConkey is a dog. He's a stud. I think he's unbelievable, and honestly, it wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being in a conversation one day as a top five receiver, something like that. He's that good, but there's only so much he can do, right, by himself. A lot of people are talking about Aronde Gadsden, that rookie tight end they have, and he looks like he's nice. Again, another guy a lot of these OTAs are looking to because it could be guys you end up seeing play later on. He ends up being good. That could be major because Herbert's never really had a go-to top-tier tight end. So that could be massive. But it's just like, Marvin Hampton's great. We know the run game's going to be good. The main question is going to be what do you do after that, right? And I don't know if they just have enough on that side of the ball to kind of push through these tough games they're going to get this year. Defensively, we know what they're about, right? The number one scoring defense, they're tough as it gets. But is your defense consistently be on the field? And if that's the case, it's going to be a problem playing a guy like Mahomes twice a year, right? Again, going ahead and playing the Broncos twice a year. If your defense has to consistently be on the field, eventually they're going to get tired, and it leads to problems, right? As good as your defense can play. So I like them. I just don't love them. Last year, they had to travel a lot as well. And the last one I'll make is they had to travel a lot as well last year. This year, again, they'll have to travel a league game 37,000 miles. So 37,000 plus miles next season. Almost 3,000 miles more than the next team. So last year, Harbaugh, what he did was he would set their alarm clocks about 3 hours earlier, try to get guys on base and on board, and it kind of worked. But do they do that again? Like, what do you do again? It's another season of traveling so far, being a West Coast team, but especially for them, it's kind of crazy. What do they do to adjust to that? It's going to be really interesting. Again, I like them, don't love them. I don't think they made significant moves, especially like the teams that we're going to mention in a bit. I think, especially one team ahead of them, made significant moves to get better. I don't know if the Chargers did enough to do that, and that's why I have them at 9-8.
Yeah, I also have the Chargers at 9-8 as well. And I think they'll barely miss the playoffs after they made it last year. I'm not going to lie, though. When I look at this team, I'm a little weary of saying that they're going to miss the playoffs because I look at this team last year, and you know they did win 11 games. Obviously, the schedule was a lot easier than it's going to be this year, it looks like, on paper. But you know, I think their second year now with Harbaugh, you know, being there, that culture continued to be instilled. You added Marion Hampton. You have Najee Harris at running back as well. I think that's going to be a good duo there. The receivers last year, outside of Ladd McConkey, weren't the greatest. Now you add Trey Harris, who might not be the number one receiver, but he did have over 1,000 yards last year at Ole Miss, and actually got injured too, so he didn't even play like a full season. The offensive line, you got Rashawn Slater and Joel Out, probably the best tackle duo in the NFL. Those guys are really, really good there. They added Mekhi Becton in free agency. We'll see how good he is away from Philly, you know, and, you know, Jeff Stoutland and the offensive line over there in Philly. But I think, you know, that was still upgrade probably over whoever they had last year there. And then, I don't know, I think defensively, Jesse, the way I'm talking right now, I guess it looks like that. I don't know. I'm a little weird of saying they're going to go 9-8. I just feel like it's mainly because it's the Chargers. I don't know why. I know Harbaugh's there. I know I was talking about the culture, but it's been really rare to see this team have a good year in back-to-back seasons. And not to say that this year won't be a good year. I mean, 9-8 is still over 500, but I just feel like there's something about that team, and I just feel like they're going to be good. I just feel like they might lose a couple of close games here and there. You know, you look back at the end of the season and be like, oh man, like they probably should have won those games. But I don't know. The Chargers just seem to charger all the time, you know, and I feel like they might do that a lot this year, unfortunately. And I think they'll miss the playoffs for the fourth time in the Justin Herbert era. But I'm not going to lie, I wouldn't be wrong if they go out and win the division too. It's so tough. I think it would just be like, it's going to be a very, very slim margin, I think, in terms of them for this season.
Yeah, no, what you're saying, it makes sense. Like, there is a lot to like about them. And like you said, it's, you can go on and on about the trench play is good and they got things to work with. But again, I don't know, even then, like, correct me if I'm wrong, like, I know you're talking about Trey Harris, but other than that, like, who do you really trust? If other than Ladd McConkey, who do you seriously trust to get the ball? Like, again, this is a problem, right? I know, again, Trey Harris, we never know with him. Maybe he ends up being a stud. He's a giant question mark. Other than that, who do you trust? Third down, who are you giving the ball to? It's Ladd McConkey. They double-team him. Who are you giving the ball to? This is the problem they ran into last year, even with the 11 wins, right? And there were a couple games where they probably shouldn't have won last year. They just got lucky based off their defense playing lights out. Like, it's, again, I think they had a privilege of playing teams that weren't that great last year. If you're doing the same thing, expecting something to change, I think you're insane. Definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting something to change. You add maybe one or two pieces, but they're not. Other than, I think Becton was a major move, other than because he needed guard play. I don't think Harris is a needle pusher. That's my problem. Or, you know, I don't know if he pushes the needle or whatever, forces the issue, whatever you want to call it. And that's just my biggest issue, again, for Herbert. We always seem to find a way to go, like, oh, it's not enough, or he needs more. And it's like, I at the same time, even though I do get on him sometimes, and or a lot, and again, like, I think people treat Justin Herbert like he's Tom Brady, someone got reincarnated. There is some truth to, you got to do a little bit more to help your guys out. I look at them sometimes the way I look at the Ravens. The Ravens got Derrick Henry, but a lot of us weren't asking for Derrick Henry. We were asking for them to get a number one receiver, right? We're like, get Lamar a guy who can just get open. And everyone's like, okay, well, they have Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers ready. Those guys, again, no offense, I like Zay Flowers. He's good. Unfortunately, last year he got injured, so we don't really know what could have happened with him being healthy. But Mark Andrews, like Mark Andrews, I like him. And he's had two playoff games now in his career where he's been a problem. Right? Again, the first time against the Titans a couple years ago, he was drop city, one led to a pick, one led to a missed opportunity for a big play. Last year, you go for a two-point conversion, who do you look to? Mark Andrews. What happens? You can say what you want about the conditions, he dropped the ball. Like, again, this is the issue, right? And then we come back and go, well, they still have Derrick Henry, and it's like, I don't know, you run into a position where we're saying the same thing again and again and again. You got to help these guys out as much as you can. When your window's there, you have to go for it. And I don't know, it seems like it's just one of those teams, like you said, they're kind of just, I don't know if it's just them being the Chargers or what, but they don't really do that. The Eagles will do whatever it takes. That's when the Eagles, I like them so much. They do whatever it takes to win and make these moves. Meanwhile, some of these teams don't really want to go all out, and it costs them. So, I don't know. I guess only time will tell. Like you said, we'll see how good they can end up doing. You never know. Maybe they can win more games than we think, but I don't know. I guess going forward and pushing to my second, or team I think is going to finish second in the division, I got the Denver Broncos. I got them an 11-6 record. And I know people seem to think there's a lot of questions with the Denver Broncos. In terms, I'll say the biggest thing is the Bo Nix thing. We can always talk on defense. Defensively, I think they're going to be, again, one of the best in the league, right? It could be a top two, not two defense, it could be top three, whatever you want to call them. They're going to be an elite defense. Adding Jahdae Barron to an already nasty secondary is just ridiculous, right? It's going to be a real fight between him and Mr. McMillan for that slot corner job / safety jobs. That's going to be great. The biggest question is going to be Bo Nix in that offense, right? Again, they were among, as well as they played sometimes and they showed flashes, they're among the worst in the NFL at EPA. If people don't know what EPA means, it's expected points added. Net yards per play and first down. So basically, more or less, a lot of their drives were bubble screens, quick passes, short checkdowns, and that's cool. That's awesome. The problem is, once teams start adjusting to that, Bo Nix in his rookie year, I think a lot of people slept on him, including myself. I'll say that honestly and openly. I slept on him, but I think a lot of NFL defenses slept on him and said, oh, well, he's going to be throwing a lot of these things, and we don't really know what we're going to get with him, so we're going to let him kind of do what he wants. And he took advantage of that. He showed his arm. He's a pretty decent, a pretty good deep ball. And he was really good at getting the ball out quick when it comes to checking down and getting those screen passes open and kind of identifying those things. He was good at that and did a great job with Sean Payton as he got along with the offense. But now it's going to be, can you make these intermediate 8 to 15 yard throws, right, that he couldn't make against the Bills in the playoffs? That's what the Bills did. He took away the short game, they took away the deep game, and they forced him to make reads, and he couldn't make those plays. Consistently overthrew guys, missed reads. So the big question with him is going to be, can he make that adjustment to get over the board? The run game, I think, is going to be better, right? You had RJ Harvey, J.K. Dobbins. That's not going to be an issue. But again, if you can't make these key passes on third down, third and eight, on second and 12, things like that, those are the plays that are keeping them away from making that next jump. I expect him to be better at that this year. I think a whole offseason, I think he'll be much better. I think he'll be much more improved. He'll know the playbook better. But it's going to be about his mechanics itself. That was my doubts about him. Can he make those intermediate throws, which are the hardest throws to make in the league, right? Those 8 yard out routes, those quick seam in routes, those deep drags. You got to be able to make those throws consistently when you're playing the big dogs. Because if you can't, what you saw against the Bills is going to continuously happen to them when it matters most. So it's going to be a big question for them. We're going to see how they do this year. I expect still good things out of them. 11-6 record. So yeah, hopefully, I guess they get it done.
Yeah, I mean, I, again, spot on with you, or agree with you here too. I think the Broncos are going to go 11-6 as well, and I think they'll make it back to the playoffs. I think their defense will be the number one ranked defense in the NFL this year. I know there's a lot of other teams you could make the argument for. You know, I think the Texans are going to be right up there too. But I look at the Broncos defense from top to bottom. I mean, they had five players that had at least six sacks last year. So they're not one of those teams that has, okay, maybe one pass rusher, one guy that can get after the quarterback, but they have multiple guys. And then, you know, that secondary is absolutely stacked, like you mentioned. I mean, they have the best cornerback in the league in Patrick Surtain, you know, reigning defensive player of the year there, adding Barron in the draft. That was a really good move too. And then I think, you know, they add Taylor Hufanga and Dre Greenlaw, two former San Francisco 49ers, you know, who have playoff experience. They're battle tested and they're very good if they can stay healthy. If they're healthy, man, that I don't want to say they're going to be like the 2015 Broncos defense, you know, that was, you know, the no fly zone and, you know, complete locking down guys, but I think they have a chance to be pretty special. And I think, like you said, yeah, it's going to come down to Bo Nix. You know, if he can take that next step, they can win the division in the AFC West, and they can be maybe even a dark horse Super Bowl team because that defense is that good. I like Cortland Sutton. I think he's an underrated receiver, true number one receiver there too. And the offensive line, I think, is really good. They don't really have any weak links there too. And, you know, Sean Payton, you know, he's obviously really good at quarterbacks. I think Bo Nix, you know, he'll improve this year. He'll get a little better. And I don't know. The Broncos, it seemed like one of those teams. They're going to be right there in the mix in the end, I think.
Yeah, no, and it makes sense, like you said. Like, again, that defense is insane. It really is well-rounded. It's nuts how good they are from top to bottom. Like, everything is good over there. So, yeah, they're a problem. They should have, realistically speaking, like, they beat the Chiefs once. I know the Chiefs rested other guys last year. Should have been a sweep. They should have beat them the first time, too. Basically playing a sloppy game, more or less, like that. So, they're really the only team in the division who's consistently... I know the Chargers played them tough, but the Broncos really get to them. Like, they truly play them, like, to the brink. And they just can't find a way to... If something happens, bad luck, a missed kick, blocked field goal, a pick. Something just happens at the end where they collapse. I expect this year for them to get a clean win over the Chiefs. I think this year they'll finally get a clean win. I'm talking like a 7-point victory, something like that, 7-10-point victory, where they get it done. And I guess that leads me to my AFC West winner, the Kansas City Chiefs. I had them at a 12-5 record, so just one game above the Denver Broncos. Again, and they're Mr. Consistent, right? Again, Patrick Mahomes, right? Matt Nagy, Andy Reid, what else could you ask for? The team, Steve Spagnuolo, they know what they're doing. If they win, it'll be their 10th straight AFC West title, right? Last team to win 10-plus, the Patriots in 2009, 2019. It's just, I think the offense this year, I think we were talking about this like a week ago or something like that. I think they finally start having some fun again. Mahomes has been in the media a lot. People are talking about him. Guys have some clown things to say about him. A Kansas City radio host saying, oh, he looks like he's fat. And the trainer saying, why don't you come down, I'll give you a workout and all that stuff. Anybody denying Patrick Mahomes' fitness, I think you're out of your mind. That guy, watching quarterback, a season one of quarterback and seeing how that guy trains, if you think that guy's out of shape, yeah, he might have a bit of a dad bod. If you think that guy's out of shape, you're out of your mind. That guy is, like, Mahomes trains like an animal. He is something different. I don't know. Maybe the Kansas City radio reporter wanted to piss him off. I'm not sure what's going on, but I don't know. It's not a good look for the rest of the league. It's not going to be good for the rest of the league if he actually takes that to heart. Yeah, he's as the wrong guy. Like to get angry. But speaking of the league, the offense taking a step, the Chiefs, they ranked fourth in EPA, again, expected points per play, and third in success rate over the past few seasons of basically check-down-centric football. So a lot of their football, again, was five-yard passes, eight-yard slants, stuff like that. That was the Chiefs' offense because everyone plays cover two or cover four against this team. It's usually nothing in between. You don't like giving up seam shots like they used to before and everything down the middle. Now it's a lot of we're going to protect the back and we're going to force you to just play in front or kind of hit these quick passes or make an excellent throw consistently. And the Chiefs adjusted. Mahomes adjusted and they just said, screw it. We're going to take what you give you. We're going to throw the ball quick, get it out. We're going to find hole shots every now and then. I think, man, like, again, it's going to be tough. Only three teams have a better drop-back EPA in a span of 3 years with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have still been doing this in spite of this check-down-centric offense. I think they're going to have fun again. The key is going to be those receivers need to stay out of trouble, right, or stay healthy. Rashee Rice, his season last year was all over the place. The car accident or whatever when he was drunk, or we don't know if he was drunk or whatever, under the influence, something. Crashing on the highway or whatever, disappearing for a day or two, turning himself in, and then the guy tears his ACL a couple games in the season. They need him healthy. He's their best receiver. In my opinion, when they're all healthy. Xavier Worthy, we know what he is. Monster, he's a beast. Need him just to stay healthy and keep going. Hollywood Brown, he gets a full offseason to sign with the team. You see him, you know what he could do. I'm not even going to mention Travis Kelce because, again, that speaks for itself. He's not the same player, but if he can even rekindle some of the greatness that he used to have, it might be a problem, especially because I think he lost a pretty significant amount of weight too, so that could help. But that's going to be the biggest question with them. We know the defense is going to ball out. It's going to be a pretty good defense again. The main question is going to be that offense. Can they start getting those big plays back? Can they work around what they have? And eventually, if you keep throwing that short stuff, can you start clicking? That last year, I thought they were going to start getting on a roll. Finally, I'm like, that Pittsburgh game, I can't remember what week it was. It was deep into the season. But that Steelers game when they're in Pittsburgh, yeah, Christmas game, they finally looked like they were clicking. And I'm like, this is the Chiefs offense. It wasn't two deep balls or anything like that, but it was like they were clicking. They were moving the ball. It didn't look like dip and dunk. It looked like really good, methodical offense. If they can get somewhere as close to that and continuously keep going, sky's the limit for this team. Again, I have them at 12-5. I just think they're that damn good. But it wouldn't shock me, again, like you said, if the Broncos end up getting over the hump and beat this team one time or even twice because they're due, honestly, to beat this team clean. So we'll see. The Chiefs have to – they got some questions to answer, but – that's only time will tell, right?
Yeah, no, you're definitely right about that. Yeah, I also have the Chiefs winning the division. Basically like clockwork at this point, basically like your any traditional or not traditional, but any annual holiday, you know, it's just like every year, you know what to expect with the Chiefs, they're gonna come through. Yeah, I don't know. Looking at this team, man, I mean, I think they're battle tested, they're deep, they have some good youth too on that team. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the league, arguably the best player. I mean, if those receivers can stay healthy, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Jaden Rose as well, who they drafted in fourth round this draft that just went by, I think they have a pretty solid receiver corps as well. And it could change, you know, something that's been going on last few seasons. Like you said, a lot of check downs, dip and dunks. And I also saw this very interesting stat as well. Last season, Patrick Mahomes had a passer rating of 33.1 on throws that traveled at least 15 yards, which ranked last among quarterbacks that had at least 35 such attempts. So every time he was throwing the ball down the field, it was bad. Yeah, they just couldn't connect on those plays really at all. But I think this year that will change with those receivers if they're able to stay healthy, like you said. But I think the biggest question with this team overall, because like you said, I think their defense is going to be great too. Chris Jones, Trent McDuffie there. You know, Steve Spagnuolo, arguably the best defensive coordinator of all time. They'll be fine there. It's going to be the offensive line. It's going to be, can they protect Patrick Mahomes? Because obviously we saw what happened in Super Bowl 59, what the Eagles did to them. It was pretty bad. So that's going to be the biggest key. Because even if these receivers are getting open down the field, and we know how talented Mahomes is and all that stuff, it won't matter if he's getting hit every single time and you don't have a chance to do it. So, I mean, they made some interesting moves on the offensive line. They traded away Joe Tooney, who's one of the best offensive linemen, you know. And I know he was older and whatnot, but he's still a really good player. But they traded him away, and then you signed Jalen Moore, the 49ers backup tackle, to a big contract. And he's young, and he has a lot of potential. Don't get me wrong. He's probably learning behind Trent Williams for a while, so that's good. But can he actually step in and be a really good left tackle, right? I mean, he's good on paper. He has that potential, but you're going against guys like Will Anderson Jr. and, you know, all these other pass rushers. Denver, like I mentioned, their pass rush. The Chargers with Jesse Minter, they're going to dial up a lot of blitzes. The Raiders have Max Crosby, you know, so they got to be able to protect Mahomes in that division and just in the league in general. So that's going to be the biggest key. Can they protect Mahomes? And then can they also get back to maybe running the football a little bit more effectively as well? Because I feel like last year at times, they had Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. I don't know. It's not scaring anybody, I guess. Like, can those guys improve and whatnot? I know Pacheco dealt with a lot of injuries, so that was a big reason why he struggled. But, yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest key. Can they run the ball, and then can they protect Mahomes on offense? If they can, I think they'll win 13 games or so. And, honestly, I think they'll make it back to the Super Bowl, because until one of these other teams prove that they can beat Mahomes in the playoffs, then I got to go with the Chiefs when it matters most. So.
Yeah, as you said, if they get there, like, again, you just expect them to kind of, they get in the playoffs, they get a top seed, or they get a second seed. You expect them to kind of just make a run and figure it out. That's a really good point, though. The offensive line is probably the biggest question. Like, there's so much. Last year with the Eagles, but even, too, during the season, it was like you couldn't really run the ball. Again, all that stuff starts with the offensive line, like you said. It's just, there's going to be main questions there. They still got Juwan Taylor there?
Yeah, he's the right tackle, pretty sure.
Like, he's a nightmare too. Like, I know if the guy's a nightmare. Like, he jumps offside every now and then. Pretty sure led the league in offsides, right? He's already not a great blocking, so he has to take an advantage. Tries to do the Lane Johnson thing, but he can't do it that well. That's a major problem too. So yeah, no, that's a pretty good. That could be the reason why honestly Denver dethrones them. Like, you play them and you just can't do anything, and then Denver's offense finally can just score against you guys. They just can't do anything about it. That could get, yeah, depending on how they play, that could get ugly. So that's a major question for them. And that makes 100%. That's 100% a good point. That's scary a little bit right there to think about. But yeah, I mean, shit, we'll shoot. I mean, we'll see, I guess, with Mahomes, right? There's a lot of things to think about with him. So he's the best in the league, best in the world. We know he kind of comes up with everything, but there's only so much you can do if your team's letting you down. So that's definitely interesting.
Yeah, it should be interesting. You know, every team in the division is gunning for him, obviously. Like we mentioned, 9 straight AFC West championships, going for a 10th straight this year. All 4 teams, or all the other 3 teams, have made big moves, or at least some moves to try to, you know, close that gap. We'll see if they did enough to slow down Mahomes, Andy Reid, and those guys over there. So should be interesting to see there, 2025. With that being said, guys, we just thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Ash Bros podcast. Be sure to tune in for the next episode, because now we're heading over to the NFC side of things. And yeah, we can't wait to get that started. So thank you guys so much, and we'll see you guys in the next one.